Welcome to the Nursing and Midwifery Emporium podcast, a podcast about this nursing life. I'm Nicole Nash-Arnold from Nurse Manager HQ.
And I'm Sue Walker from the Nursing CPD Institute. And together each week, we seek out interesting people to discover what a red-hot nursing life looks like. Today, I welcome to this nursing life microphone, Liliana Lovada. Liliana works in the perioperative area as a specialist clinician, manager, and educator. We met a few years ago through a mutual colleague, and at that time, Liliana was working in Sydney. And when I recently caught up with her again, Liliana had moved to Montenegro. She is living in a spectacular location, continues to work in the perioperative specialty, remains an innovative and respected clinician and educator, and is loving her life. So welcome to the microphone, Liliana. Tell me a little more about how a nurse who has worked in Australia for 30 years ends up working in a surgical hospital in Montenegro.
Hi, Sue and fellow nurses. Thanks for having me here. Nowadays, I miss talking with fellow Aussies. Well, Sue, I was born in North Queensland, but when I was very little, my parents decided to travel Europe. So we first lived in France and then Montenegro. This meant that my growing up years were heavily influenced by European lifestyle and tradition. So even though I was born in Australia, I have a very mixed European accent. Growing up here in Montenegro, I had fun traveling through Europe, but I also studied to become a nurse and then worked as an ICU and operating room nurse before coming back to Australia, where I met my now husband, had children and so on. And then in about mid-2018, my husband and I found ourselves, as many couples of our age do, at life's crossroads, and our beautiful kids grew up and left home. Our business was successful for a long time. Our careers reached highest points and mortgages were paid off. And as perfect as that sounded, we still felt that we didn't know what we wanted to do, but we were free to do anything. And we decided that we wanted to live somewhere simple where we can buy fresh seasonal food from the local markets before going to the beach or a boat ride, maybe live like locals in some small medieval coastal town, and decided that Montenegro would be as good of a place as any for that. And because over the recent years, I remained having close ties with Montenegro, have lots of friends here, school friends, colleagues, and as such, frequently visited the town where I grew up, it made sense to buy a holiday unit a few years ago. So then when we started thinking what to do with our newly found freedom, we thought, well, Montenegro looks good because it's beautiful and we already have a unit there. So here we are. A little bit about the town here. It is as spectacular as you said. It's a little 13th century medieval town, which over the years was heavily influenced by Roman, Venetian, Spanish, Austrian, Hungarian, and Turkish invasions. And this history had shaped it to be one of the most charming towns, many stairs and beautiful fortresses, and nature itself had given it beautiful beaches and over 300 sunny days a year. And on top of that, recently, the bay where we are has been voted the seventh most beautiful bay in the world. So we can't really complain.
It sounds absolutely beautiful. And I'm going to acknowledge a vested interest here. I keep saying to Liliana, oh, Liliana, it sounds absolutely fabulous. I think we should have a perioperative conference there. So that's something for us to plan for the future, Liliana.
100%. I can't wait for that to happen. And you're a genius to think of that. Oh, never crossed my mind.
Oh, never, never. Now, Liliana, are there any differences in the way that perioperative nursing is practiced in Montenegro compared to your experience in Australia?
Well, yes, as I said, I was heavily, I mean, as you said, I was very involved with nursing in Australia. I went through every possible perioperative role and experienced everything, even outside of operating theatre. So I know it all really well, but I don't know it really well here. So I'm discovering it as I go. And the difference is quite significant. So, for example, the nurses in Montenegro working in conditions, workplace conditions that we probably had in Australia about 40 years ago. Example, there are no standards, professional standards such as ACON, to guide them through their practice. There are no regulations such as APRA. There are no nursing unions. So what that means is that their practice is not based on science findings and their translation into practice recommendations. So breaches of practice are not addressed and there are no staffing or patient nurse ratios. Sadly, there is also, as a result of all of that, there is no understanding that nursing is a science. Therefore, as dedicated nurses in Montenegro are about their patient care practice, they have not been encouraged to develop their practice on quality improvement principles. So, for example, in Australia, if an incident occurs, we'll study it, investigate it, look up literature, best literature recommendations, and we would make then recommendations for change of practice in the operating theatres, or it might even involve the whole hospital. And often, as you know, that involves the whole state. But here there's no such a thing. And I've always said from day one when we were planning our move over here that I will not work in Montenegro, purely because the standards that I would have to adhere to here would force me to lower my own standards that I have developed in Australia. And that would be irritable to someone like me. Also, I would for sure end up trying to teach nurses here how to do things better. And that may not always be received well if it's not formal training and organized in service. So it wouldn't be a good situation to find myself in, and it would be completely unnecessary, given that all of that would happen for a very little pay. But luckily for me, I've been tapped on the shoulder to work as a head operating nurse at an American hospital for plastic and reconstructive surgery, which is in our town. So now I'm working there with a renowned Californian surgeon. And if any one of you wants to visit us here to do a facelift or anything like that, he's really good, by the way, and much cheaper than in Australia. But so at his workplace, at his hospital, I'm implementing ACON standards because they're very similar to American AON standards. And I'm slowly changing the way they do things there. And again, I don't think I would be able to work in a Montenegrin hospital. But if, or in fact, it's similar to Italy, Greece, and any second world country here in Europe. But if in such country there is an American or British hospital, then that kind of thing is okay for us Australian nurses when we go overseas.
It seems like a fabulous adventure to work overseas. So based on your experience, what challenges are there for Australian nurses to consider when thinking about working outside of Australia?
Well, so true. So that really depends on a country that a nurse has chosen to work in. Montenegro, for example, is a promising but an underdeveloped second world country. And the challenge would be to retain the standards we uphold in Australia when a workplace in the new country doesn't support that. Central European countries, for example, are much more ahead and a similar level of standard of care with Australia. Language, again, is a significant barrier unless, like I said before, you're working in an English-speaking hospital like I am. I know the local language, but 30 years in Australia has depleted my knowledge of the local language here a little bit. So it'll probably take me another couple of years to be proficient again. But language is a significant barrier. So an English-speaking hospital is a must if that's if English is the only language a nurse has. But it is definitely challenging. A lot of patients, and I'm sure that often nurses would think that they're back on their new grad level a little bit. You know, even as a head nurse in this hospital, I feel a little bit like a new grad in some moments because they need review of their patient records, of their forms, and not everything is written down. For example, over the years, they've either been lost or never been developed. Surgeons' preference cards are not there. And I feel like a little bit like a fish out of water when I don't know exactly what I need to have there. So I'm developing those as well. So a few challenges that are not necessarily different than if we start working in a new workplace in Australia. There are some of those, but there are also challenges that are linked to a new country or new continent. But it's a beautiful challenge. You know, Sue, I wouldn't do this any different than I have done already. It's nice to step outside of the comfort zone and shake myself up a bit.
Look, certainly it's always great to be tested, but as far as that hospital's concerned, it's fabulous that you're now able to implement those standards.
Yeah, exactly.
So for the hospital, it's a huge win, and for the patient, a huge win.
Yeah, exactly. I'm also enjoying being a manager in Australia for so long. I'm enjoying having the close patient interaction again. It's so lovely to be with patients. It really is. It's just such a nice thing to be a nurse.
Liliana, when you were working in Australia, you also worked with ACORN in reviewing standards.
Yes.
So what do you see the challenges for the nursing profession and the perioperative environment to be in the coming years?
Well, you know, Sue, in Australia, we've been saying for a long time that our biggest challenge is staffing due to the bigger demand on healthcare in Australia and no increase in nursing numbers. And recently, there is a lot of emphasis on leadership, looks, what a leader looks like, and that sort of thing. And likewise, in workplaces, there is a lot of talk about how floor nurses can apply leadership and so on. I personally think that the biggest challenge for the nursing profession is for us to continue to challenge the way we do things and to base our practice on research findings. These are imperative to sustain nursing profession as a science and help us do things smarter, so to provide better patient care in good times and bad, and I mean bad like coronavirus pandemic. We're constantly faced with demands that impact on our practice. And we need to be able to defend our practice from becoming watered down or becoming less meticulous in what we do because of yet more highly complicated equipment or an intensely complex situation in healthcare, such as infectious diseases or another electronic medical record application that we need to get used to and fit in our already busy working day. But no matter what happens, we need to be able to fight to retain good knowledge in our heads, keep our patients in our hearts, and do what ACORN standards say. ACORN standards are moving towards becoming acceptable and reinforced national standard. They are moving towards that. That's really good to see. But it's us in the workplaces that need to be embracing ACORN as part of our professional practice. Many times I have heard nurses in workplaces, even at job interviews with me, saying, but ACORN is just a guideline. Now, ACORN is not just a guideline. It's the only standard we have in Australia. And so often we get so busy or we're not supported in applying ACORN, but we need to be. We need to be using it more. And I think as nurses, we owe it to ourselves and to future nurses in Australia to research scholarly articles and really challenge what we are doing, not just do it because somebody has told us that's how it's done here. But look, why am I doing this? Is this the most recent way the science says it should be done? And just check everything. That's what makes nursing a science. And doing research doesn't mean we have to be doing a master's or doctorate course. It's not. It's reading up a scholarly article, which are 4 or 5 years more, no more old than that, and looking up what do we do at work and are we doing it in the way that scientists have discovered should be done nowadays.
Couldn't agree with you more, Liliana. And interestingly, ACORN standards, they're releasing their new standards in 2020, and I know you'll be looking at that as we move forward with your education. So yes, that's fabulous. So, Liliana, what is it that you wish all nurses knew so that they can live their best nursing life?
Oh, well, so some years ago, about 40 years ago, a famous nurse in America, Virginia Henderson, said that the, and I'll quote, "The unique function of the nurse is to assist the individual, sick or well, in the performance of those activities contributing to health or its recovery or to peaceful death that he could perform unaided if he had the necessary strength, will, or knowledge, and to do this in such a way as to help him gain independence as rapidly as possible. She must, in a sense, get inside the skin of each of her patients in order to know not only what he wants, but also what he needs to maintain life and regain health. She is temporarily the conscious of the unconscious, the love of life for the suicidal, the leg of the amputee, the eyes of the newly blind, a means of locomotion for the infant, knowledge and confidence, for the young mother, a voice for those too weak or withdrawn to speak, and so on." So, Sue, I don't think I can say it any better than Virginia has said.
No, I agree. I think that's a lovely quote, and thank you for sharing with us. So, Liliana, thanks for being our guest at the Nursing and Midwifery Emporium podcast today and sharing with us your nursing journey and your thoughts about perioperative nursing in particular.
Thank you, Sue, for having me, and I look forward to speaking with you guys again in the future.
And we look forward to visiting you in Manchester.
Absolutely. Come on on.
Thanks, Liliana. Bye. Hello, Nicole.
Hey, Sue. How are you?
I'm exceptionally well. And yourself?
I'm very good, thank you.
Now, tell me, the fabulously lovely Liliana and Montenegro.
Oh, Sue, I want to move to Montenegro.
I'd like to go to Montenegro myself.
I actually didn't really know where Montenegro was, so I had to Google it. So right near the Croatia there on the Adriatic Sea, tiny, tiny little country. It's got a little tiny population of 600,000. Then I had a look at the images, the Google images. Bloody hell, it's a nice spot in the world.
It's absolutely beautiful. Apparently, Liliana can actually see the Croatian coast from the balcony of where she lives. It just sounds so idyllically romantic, doesn't it?
It really does. And her story is, I think, so many people's and so many nurses' stories that we're working away and we would love to just get to the point of independence, you know, free of whatever, whether it's financial independence or kids' independence or whatever, and go throw a dart in the globe and see where we land. And so it's interesting because her goal was not, if I read her correctly, was not to move to Montenegro and to work. Her plan was just to live happily ever after. But she just nursing, hey, just you can't get away from it.
No, and Liliana was quite involved with the ACORN standards and she worked at very large public hospitals in Sydney. And she had quite a fabulous career. And as she rightfully said, like the kids had left, they looked at each other, they had a successful business. She certainly had a successful career. Let's go explore the world. Let's go live in Montenegro, which I would be able, I'd love to be able to say that. I'm just saying. Anyway, so she was able to say it.
Yes.
And then got there in this most fabulous location and then got tapped on the shoulder by a surgeon who found out that she had this, immense background in perioperative. Please come and help us. Please come and work with us. And now she finds herself in a situation where she's head nurse, starting from scratch and educating her colleagues that she works with on baseline standards that we in Australia take for granted.
It's amazing. I saw this meme the other day on Facebook, Sue, once a nurse, always a nurse. It's like the mafia. We know too much.
We will be up.
Once you think you're out, it pulls you back in. And she seems to have had that experience. But it's amazing, isn't it? Because I think that's the there's no such thing as a free lunch. Like, she's living in the, one of the most idyllic places on the planet, it looks like. And she's got this, you know, amazing lifestyle. And nursing has pulled her back in because we do love it. And but if the challenges are, like, she, you can hear her pain about, I've come from Australia where we have lived by the Bible. So I laughed when she said ACORN is not a guideline. And we certainly here in Australia with the Australian College of Operating Room Nurses, that book is the Bible. And I'm a philosophical believer that a policy is a guideline, but not with that. And then to go be plunged into a world where there's no such animal, like, really confronting.
No, and she's creating it as she goes. And
yes.
Like, there's no fallback position. There's no union to ring up and say, like, you know, these people aren't following the guidelines, or, you know, there's no professional organisation where you can identify that we're not meeting standards here. She's setting the standards.
I think that would be very difficult, and that's the balance, is there are so many people of our colleagues that I think want to do this and have a dream for it, and I think everybody should. I think working overseas and picking up everything that we have learned, and whether you're going to work in a million different places in the world, I think would be a most amazing experience. But these are the realities. Like, it's not Australia, and there are pluses and minuses. It's the yin and yang of the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you just can't click your ruby slippers and go home.
No.
Once you're committed, then that's your life. That's the process. And because she knows how good it can be, that's where she wants to be able to take it.
And in a way, it's part of the joy of working in a country like ours, with a health system like ours, and the experiences that we have. And as she says, you know, the challenges in Australia, it's not that there aren't any, and we know that there are our challenges. And she's sort of talked about leadership and staffing and skill mix and evidence-based nursing. But nevertheless, to take the experience that we have had and into a context that doesn't have it, where the bar is so low and there's so much work to do, I can imagine that would, at the same time, as frustrating and confronting as it would be, so much joy to see the growth, assuming that the organisation was, you know, willing to get on your bus, would be so satisfying, wouldn't it?
It would. And that's what she's actually seeing, because Liliana is doing a series of perioperative webinars for the Institute. And so I do get to talk to her quite often. And she's now seeing the joy of the outcomes for the clients because of what she's been able to initiate, and her colleagues now seeking to do things differently.
Yeah.
Where, as you know, Nick, I mean, you're from the perioperative environment. It's a very difficult thing to initiate change when you've got a group of people who have been doing it this way and things have been okay.
Yeah. And the wonderful thing, is murderously frustrating as I find it sometimes when people hit me with the, we can't do this because it's policy, and I feel like murdering them with said policy. There's something, conversely, to say that things like standards, regulations, legislations do give you a voice where you can say to someone, no, we are not doing it this way because the ACORN standards, which is an evidence-based document, expects us to do it this way. And so, therefore, it gives you that minimum level of expectation that we don't. And then we can do amazing things and excellence and quality and initiatives over and above that. But it gives you that baseline voice to be able to stand ground without being just the lone voice. So I think that would be really empowering for a group of nurses to have someone like Liliana, an Australian nurse with an amazing amount of experience, to go, no, that's not right.
No, we're going to do it this way, and here's the science that tells us why.
Mm.
So I think that's very clever. But
yeah,
I also love the fact that we could be having a nursing and midwifery emporium conference.
I think we should do that. That Montenegro. Would be amazing.
Oh, look.
She even pitched us a facelift.
True.
A medical tourism facelift there. But I'm more on the conference. The pair. I'm loving that. I think that would be amazing.
I think Elle McPherson wants to keep her face. So
yeah.
I don't think I could go in there and ask for that sort of level of transplant. But, you know, a little nip and tuck. The reason I will never have elective surgery is because I am a complete coward.
Oh, excellent.
So, yes, You will have to live with me, you know, as I come.
Exactly how we are. But that is absolutely fabulous.
So, but she is also talking about with the conference, which would be a fabulous thing, but for perioperative nurses to be able to go over there and work with her in the future, which would be a brilliant thing.
I think that would be an incredible experience.
If you want to go and see how it works. But how fabulous for a girl born in North Queensland to, because she actually did her nursing basic training in Montenegro. And then came out to Australia. Right. So, and then did further study here and had most marvelous career to then find herself back in Montenegro, giving that population the wealth of her knowledge in creating this hospital environment. And then being able to say to her Australian colleagues, hey, come over and have a look at this. Like, what an exceptional life.
I think that'd be really good. That's why I think that sort of thing would be amazing in terms of going somewhere where we know there's a very experienced, she's been very influential in the world of ACORN, so she can give that Australia versus rest of the world experience and knowledge and insight. And even if it's not Montenegro where people land, but it is Switzerland or Russia or the UK, just gives you that toe in the water of these are the realities of what nursing overseas would look like. And I think I think that would be an incredible thing to take a deep dive into.
Nothing like a deep dive.
Exactly right.
Well, sister.
Also in the Adriatic Sea, deep diving in that too.
Nice. That was a fabulous segue.
I'm glad you noticed. Thank you.
Yeah, miraculous. Well done. As always, it's been lovely.
Farewell and see you next week.
I look forward to it. You too. Hey, let's dream about Montenegro this week.
Indeed.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Nursing and Midwifery Emporium. Make sure you visit us at the website www.nmemporium.com to subscribe to the podcast.
And if you'd like to put someone forward for us to interview, go to the same website and just click on the button.
See you guys.
Take care. Bye.